Hello, friends and family. Session number 11. You know, we've come a long way. And I trust that the Lord is working in you. The most amazing thing is, it's not just a session, but we're trusting that as you're watching these things, as you're getting to connect with Scripture, as the Lord is revealing that, hey, it's a process. And remember, it's always a process. And we're talking about sonship. Let's just recap what we've done so far. We started the first week with how big is our God. Then God's revealed, heart's revealed through us, to us, what every child needs from dad. That was session number 4. The father wound, we spent 3 sessions on that. Then letting go of your past in session 8 and 9. We started with knowing your true identity. And in this session, we'll be talking about the elements of sonship and an inheritance. So we're excited. And then the last session, we're going to talk about just godly families, covenant relationships. How should it work? You know, many of us come out of broken homes and many of us are challenged to surrender. But this is the opportunity for you to say, Lord, we're starting a new generation. We're starting it here. Maybe you've had a great past. Maybe you have a great parents, bless them. But then, hey, their lives should just continue through your life. Remember, God wants to bless even up to the 10th generation. And that promise that we read, that, hey, God wants to rebuild the ruins. He wants to show us the ancient paths. He wants to release over us life and life in abundance. Just like Nehemiah rebuilt the walls, so God wants us to build the walls around our lives by healthy boundaries and spiritual boundaries, and also over our families and for protection for generations to come. You know, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said that at the end of his life. Wow, what a promise. When all the nation was standing there, he said, I've laid the foundation for generations. So let's look at the elements of sonship. I'm going to read you some of these scriptures. Matthew 16, 24, the self-denial. Your biggest challenge is you. It's me. It's us, the sinful nature. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Denying yourself and following him. That's where it starts. Sonship means I'm following Christ. Sonship means I'm living for him. The second S, and there are a couple of S's, is surrender and solitude. To live a consecrated lives. You know, if we are a son of God, we are going through a process of sanctification. Ladies, we're going through a process of sanctification. Holiness. Holiness means to be separate unto God, away from the world, separate from the world. And separate for who he is. Hebrews 12 verse 14 says this, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We have to have the fear of God. And yes, God loves us. Yes, salvation is to bless us and give us the kingdom. But we need to have a disciplined life. We need to be consecrated and live a holy life, different than the people around us, different than the world. Not striving, not competition. No, because we want to please him and because we want to see his glory manifest in our lives and through our lives. So therefore, we need to surrender. We need solitude. We need time alone with our Father. The third thing is submission. Submission. Greater cause, submission to who he is. Listen to this in John 4 verse 34. Beautiful words that Jesus said. Jesus said to them, my food, this was to his disciples, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You are here for a purpose and a cause, and that is to finish the work of Jesus. Jesus said it's like doing food, like eating food. Every day, you need to be nourished, you need to be strengthened, and as you eat food, you're being filled. So is it to do the will of God. Many people opt out. They say, no, I just want to live. I just want to make it to heaven. But sonship is not just about making it to heaven. It's about submission to the Lordship of Christ. You know, there's a lot of beautiful Christians that are going to heaven, but they've never made Jesus Lord of their lives. Even the disciples, they were called twice. And the second time, Peter fell at on his feet there before Jesus. And he said, oh, Lord, depart from me because I am a sinful man. He used the term Lord, Kurios, Master, the one to whom submit. submit to his will. And that sometimes means he's going to put us through the test. Sometimes, yo, I can tell you, I've been through tough times, but it's so rewarding when we follow God. Sometimes it's lonely to be a Christian. Sometimes it's not easy. If some people tell you Christianity is an easy life, run from their opinion, because they only have opinion. No, there's going to be tough times, but submitting to Jesus, submitting to the Lord of your life. The fourth thing, or sonship, means to be a servant. Jesus is not going to say one day, hey, well done, good and faithful preacher. Hey, well done, you've raised 50 people from the dead. He's going to say, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. Faithful means to be full of faith, and you're a servant. A son needs to serve. Mark 10 verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, the world says live and then die. Jesus says die so that you can live. Serve others. You've been made to serve God and to serve the people around you. But you're going to serve somebody. you will serve somebody. Maybe it's your flesh. Maybe you serve yourself. Maybe you serve the opinion of people. But we're breaking that in Jesus' name. And then the last one is significance. Galatians 4 verse 6 and 7 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father! There's an exclamation. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There's an eternal perspective. There's significance. God isn't interested in our success. God is not interested in our breakthroughs or our happiness. But he wants you to live a significant life. And a significant life is when you're in his will. A significant life is when you're fulfilling his call on your life. But remember, those things do not determine your sonship. Your sonship is because God has given you the right to be a son. He has chosen you, and therefore you can be a son of God. And so these are just some of the elements of sonship. But the one we really want to focus on is the inheritance that God has given us. And there are three things we're going to look at. The first one is the promise of restoration. Then the law of the firstborn and the birthright that we receive. And what does that really mean to have firstborn rights? So God says you're a son, but you're also an heir. Listen to this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. And I really want to encourage you, going to read these scriptures. You know, it's a really rich, and it will just bless you. It says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. We have obtained an inheritance. And that inheritance is not just an internal inheritance. The moment when you enter into the kingdom, when you become born again, you have an inheritance. You know, I've seen it through many families just on farms. Yo, people can really fight about an inheritance. Oh, some of the most terrible times is when a family, when somebody has died and the family comes to that will, the testament, you know. And then there's a fighting and, oh, you know, who gets what. That's why God is very open about what our inheritance is. There's going to be no sibling rivalry because Jesus is the firstborn and we have an inheritance, everyone. And so he promises us restoration. Listen to this beautiful Malachi chapter 4. It's right before the New Testament crosses over to the Old Testament crosses over to the New Testament. Malachi 4 verse 5 to 6. So before the New Testament is introduced. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with the decree of utter destruction. There's a curse on the land because the fathers and the sons are not connecting. Fathers and daughters are not connecting. But Jesus promises, he says, Elijah, the spirit of Elijah will come. And you know, John the Baptist, same spirit. They believe Jesus was also Elijah at a stage. It will turn the hearts. It will bring a generational healing and restoration. And that's what I love about God's restoration. God restores something back to its original purpose and then even make it better. Remember the prodigal son when he came back? He didn't receive a robe and a ring and shoes the first time around. But the second time when he came back, the Lord actually gave him a better position. The father waited for him, embraced him, and said, hey, I want to give you life in abundance. Unfortunately, the religious son who stayed at home, never asked for his inheritance. He was living in the home and he says, Father, I don't know why you don't give these things to me. I'm right here, I'm serving you. But the father says, you should have just asked. So we can ask him for our inheritance. We can ask him for restoration. Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking like, sure, Charles, I just have a bad story. It's just, there's just no way. I promise you, God will give you back a hundredfold of that which has been stolen from you. Because the devil is a liar and he's the father of lies. And God is no man's debtor. The moment when you and I say, Lord, here I am, then he will use you. He will start to get back what the devil has stolen. And so Malachi is this beautiful scripture of hearts turning. You know, we did speak about it as well. Don't put an expectation on your earthly father or earthly mother for restoration. God is your perfect father. So first go to him, because it may take time in your earthly father. I remember when my father committed his life to Christ, it took me 18 years. You know, my life cannot stand still. I had to go and follow God, and I did. But sure, I saw how God could turn somebody's life around. And there's so many testimonies, you know. That one person, whom Stephen Lungu always talks about, this time when he went to go and preach in Johannesburg. And he said it was a Saturday evening. They were going out and the pastor invited him. The pastor, the wife, the five band members and one person pitched. And the pastor said, oh, Mr. Lungu, please let's stop, you know. And he said, no, I've prepared a sermon. So I'm going to preach it. So one guy, the band, the pastor and his wife sitting in a big auditorium, you know. And so Stephen preached his heart out. And he made an altar call. And the one guy responded. He came to the front. Stephen still says, wow, it's the best altar call I've ever had. 100% response. Everyone responded. But that one guy, you know. And so, wow, God is into the one person. And he'll reach out to them. But that's not where the story ends. He says later, I don't know how many years later, he was somewhere in Zimbabwe, Zambia, in Africa. And he was at this pastor's conference preaching. And this one man comes walking up to him and says, Mr. Lungu, do you remember me? He says, no, I don't. He says, I was that one guy that responded. And today, I'm a pastor of a massive church. Yeah, you know, that's how God operates. That's how God restores. That's how God uses one person. Yeah, and there are many, many stories of how God would reach out. You know, one day was at a wedding. And there was quite a religious crowd. This one guy died that was studying at Tigerberg at the medical campus. And then his parents asked me to do a prayer. And so I thought like, whoa, you know. So I had a three-minute prayer. And I thought, sure, this is going to be tough. Because the person that preached before me was very religious, didn't speak about salvation really, just about nice things and all of that stuff. And I thought like, Lord, you told me that this guy who died, his life is not wasted. His life will be a seed. And so I had 3 minutes. You know what you can pray? I prayed a prayer within a prayer. I made an altar call in a prayer and around about 400 people. I made them stand while I was praying. I said, Father, thank you right now that Lord, this guy did not die. Ruald Lowe did not die in vain. But I pray that Lord, people will turn to you right now. And Lord, those who need you, that will stand up and pray after me. So they stood up in the prayer and then prayed a salvation prayer. Yeah. Went home. Couple of years later, a young lady came to me and she said, you know what? I gave my heart to the Lord. I was at school. I gave my heart to the Lord on that funeral, in that prayer. Today, my father got saved. My mother got saved. They're pastors of a church. They've planted a church of 200 people. And I thought like, wow, God can take one life. Even when it looks like death, God restores. That life becomes a seed. The Bible also talks about the seed of the martyrs. And so God can use anybody and anything to restore. So let's go on, because now we're talking about the law of the firstborn or the birth. Romans 8 verse 14, we've read the scripture before. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children, heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And there was an Afrikaans guy that said, heirs and joint heirs with Christ. It's people that inherit with God. And we are sons when we're led by the Spirit of God. But you know, Jesus was the firstborn, and there's something beautiful about Jewish tradition and culture. The firstborn got certain rights. The firstborn was walking in a place. He actually got a double portion. And so, let me read you in your notes. It says, the firstborn and the firstfruits represent that which God's highest favor and blessing. So the oldest son would always be the firstborn, and he got the highest favor, the highest blessing, you know? And it that which is first, and God is into first, you know, that's why it's important that we give our first fruits to Him. I remember when I started working, my first salary, I just gave my whole salary to the church. My first fruit, I said, God, I'm sowing this as precious seed to you. Yeah? Beautiful stuff. Importance, you know, that son got a double portion of the rest. And the Bible says that we as children of God, because of Jesus being our older brother, we can enter into a spiritual firstborn right. And the favor of the Lord, we can expect the favor of the Lord on our lives. Doesn't mean that we always have breakthrough and we just get prosperity. Sometimes it's going to be tough. But the favor of God, the blessings of God is the peace of God, the joy of God, the fullness of God, the sufficiency of God, the presence of God. You know, remember what Moses said, Lord, we're not going to go into this promised land if your presence doesn't go with us. Because it's not the breakthrough. It's the fact that God is with us. A joy that is beyond, you know, the fears in our lives. You know, joy beyond the circumstances, whether it's good or bad, we'll have a joy. And so you and I have firstborn rights. And that's so beautiful. It's being imparted through Christ to us. And so you have a spiritual witness that you're a son of God, a daughter of God. And you have that freedom to ask Him. That's why Luke and Matthew says it, ask, seek, knock, and it will be given to you. It means when you ask, hey, there's some questions. When you knock, there's some closed doors. Seek means something you need to go and find. That's so beautiful about the kingdom and this part of this inheritance that God has given us. And yes, you know, you're going to be rewarded one day because there's going to be two judgments. The first judgment will be between believers and unbelievers, but the second judgment will be a reward system. Rewarding according to your obedience, what you have done, what God has called you to do. And so that's why it's important that sons live obedient lives. But there's a right, there's an impartation that we can walk in. Impart is to, God has blessed us with something. The favor of the Lord is on us. You know? And so I want to encourage you, expect God's favor. Expect His life in abundance. Jesus said, I've come to give life. And life in abundance. But the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so I always thought, like, you know, God is really a spoil sport. God doesn't want to bless me because, you know, if I play tennis, it seems so natural. No, God wants to bless you in that. But what is your motivation? My motivation is I want to give God glory. I want to, whatever I do, use as a platform to bless others, to see others come to the knowledge of Christ. Because, hey, Jesus died for a massive family, not for my own right, not just for me to enjoy the blessings, but for me to become generous. So everything I even earn and own, it's just a tool in my hands to see the kingdom of God come. You know, and I've seen that so many times. I've seen it by blessing people with vehicles, by just giving away. You know, sometimes, then God would just say, hey, give this away. And then, whoa, shook, just an abundance. Yeah. The times when I just stepped out in faith and trusted the Lord for stuff because, hey, I want my faith to be real. I don't want to be in a comfort zone all the time. And that's part of sonship is to be in an adventure with God. You know, I dreamt many years ago when I read a book to go to Indonesia in 2019, I went to Indonesia. Sure. And I went to the place where Meltari and these guys saw a massive revival happen. I thought like, wow, Lord, I dreamed that 30 years ago, 3 decades, that you're going to take me there one day. And I asked you, and the Lord answered that prayer. So stop dreaming just little things. Ask the Lord, you know, but it's not for you. It's not for you to be a consumer. It's for you and I to have faith and a declaration that we can set a platform for others to experience God, but especially establish something like what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, because Joshua was had to fight a lot. There was a lot of battles in his life, but he realized it wasn't just for himself. That's why you're fighting a battle to be pure. That's why you're fighting a battle for your relationships. That's why sometimes you have to go through this. And when you realize that there is a joy set before you, then you can say, wow, I'm not just doing this for myself. I'm actually establishing a new culture, a new generation, a new blessing that will run down to the 10th generation. You know, they're going to say, oh, Papita, oh, Masari, oh, Matoska, you know. She followed God wholeheartedly. You know, I have that restoration in my life because my great-grandfather followed God fully. He preached the gospel every weekend. He was a farmer, went from farm to farm, preached the gospel. He was very, very adamant that you repent. You know, unfortunately, it jumped two generations. I have his names. Eusias, Josias, you know, Josias of Fast, which means the Lord is my salvation and servant. And I think like, wow, the fire of God, you know, that's God's heart. God's heart is so that we can have a generational blessing that flows through. And that's why we also have to break curses over lives. And so curses are those things that we realize like through every generation it's been happening. Rejection is coming through. We break that curse. We say no to those curses. And we establish a new flood of restoration through generations, because your obedience will affect 3-4 generations down the line. So what does that mean? It means we have a joy. You know, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the shame, and went to sit at the right hand of the Father. He had three things. The Bible says. Jesus had a joy that was set before him. Our joy is much bigger because we can see, I'm going to set generations free. The second thing, he endured the cross. We go through the suffering. We go through the tough times. We go through this process of healing. Why? Because there's a joy. There's a joy that's set before us. It's not just so that, hey, I'm going through the operation. If you have to go through an operation, you realize like, wow, I'm going to be better when I've gone through the operation. And that's why we trust God and we take our time and we read scripture and we read books and we open up our lives so that other people can help us in this process of healing. Don't just try and do it on your own. And sometimes it's tough. It's tough to be vulnerable. It's tough to open up. But there's a joy set before us. And then what did Jesus do? He despised the shame. He despised the shame. He put value on our lives. And so we can do the same with others around us. And I want to encourage you as we're going to end off the session. There's a task. This is the task. Task number 10. It says, draw up a faith declaration of what you are trusting God to restore in you and through you for the next generation or generations. And there's an example, yeah, where you can make a declaration. I want you to write it down as long as you want it to be. Say, Lord, our generation will serve the Lord with all of our hearts, mind, and strength. We will be hungry for God and seek his kingdom first. We will not be subject, this is where we renounce certain stuff, subject to a spirit of rejection. We will not bow to the idol of money and comfort. And then you can declare over yourself, I will be an amazing father, mother for my children and provide their emotional and spiritual needs. We will make disciples of nations and generations. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So go and write your own faith statements. Write it for your family. Put it on the wall. Think about those things that God has put in your heart and your spirit. And say, Lord, I want to make a stand. So maybe nobody in your family is saved. Make a stand. You can take that spiritual authority in your family. You can be the spiritual leader there. Until maybe your father or mother comes to know the Lord. If you're a child. But make a stand. Declare it. Put it in your Bible. Be intentional about the promises of God. Be intentional about your inheritance, because the devil, he also wants you to do, just be trapped in lies and fear. But that's so beautiful. God wants to restore, and that's what I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for me that God will restore. God will give you back 100-fold what the devil has stolen. You know, and I've seen it so many times. God imparting his heart to me, and then also for other people. So let me pray. I want to thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, that we can be true sons and daughters of God. Lord, I break every fear that says we're going to be slaves, we're going to be orphans. We want to thank you for obedient lives to you. And right now, Lord, we say yes to our inheritance. I pray, Father, for every person that is listening and watching, for the firstborn right, our birthright, our spiritual birthright, to manifest and to set us free. Father, we say no to the lies of the devil. We say no, Lord, to the fears that the devil want to bring. We break every generational curse of depression, Lord, of just, Lord, consumerism, so many generational curses that want to say they're going to take control. We say, no, Lord, we want to establish a new blessing that runs down to the 10th generation. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you.